Hello and welcome to Pancreas Pals. I'm Emily.
And I'm Christy. We're just two gals in our 20s trying to live our best type 1 diabetic lives.
Every week we tackle a new topic from the diabetic perspective. Although we offer tips, we are not medical professionals, but we also offer plenty of anecdotes and general thoughts about how to embrace the type 1 lifestyle on your own terms.
It's not always easy to do through all of the literal highs and lows, but it does help to have a pancreas pal to turn to.
Guys, welcome to Pancreas Pals. Emily here. And today we are here. Welcome back, guys. We both live in metropolitan areas. Anywho, this week's episode is all about caring for diabetes, caring for those who have diabetes, I guess I should say. It's a little, you'll understand more as we get this underway. We're not necessarily talking about nurses and caretakers in that sense, but kind of like caring for oneself when you have diabetes and letting others care for you.
Taking care.
Christy, would you like to start us off?
Yeah, so I guess what kind of got me started on this episode, recently, even for people in my life that are not diabetic, I think I'm such like a better caretaker for other people. Not that I don't take care of myself, but like the second that someone else is like, oh, like this hurts or, oh, I'm not feeling well, I like snap into nurse mode. But when it's me, I guess I can be calmer because I kind of know what to do at this point for myself. But when it's other people, I just freak out. But I guess that's kind of silly because in the grand scheme of things, like I'm the one with the disease that would probably need actual caretaking if the situation arose, but that's neither here nor there. So yeah, I guess my big piece with this episode is I was just kind of thinking lately, the summer after my freshman year of college and the summer after my sophomore year of college, I had the absolute privilege of nannying possibly the three greatest kids on the planet. The middle child was also a type 1 diabetic. I actually found her through a social worker at my old doctor in New Jersey. And I guess the family, yeah, shout out, Morristown, great job. I guess that they do that. I think I just got a general email from the like social worker there. So she just emailed a bunch of older people and was like, hey, this family's looking for someone to babysit kids. You interested? I didn't realize it was going to be like two whole summers of my life, but it was great. And I don't know. I think you kind of accidentally learn a lot about taking care of yourself when you're taking care of another person with type 1, because anytime that Olivia had, her name was Olivia, shout out, anytime Olivia had a low or something like that, I would just want to do everything for her, even though she was perfectly capable. You know, if there was something that she wanted or needed around, I wanted to make sure she did not have to lift a finger. And it kind of clicked for me over time that, wow, that's how other people that care about me must feel when I'm having a low. But maybe it's because Emily and I were both diagnosed later in life, I tend to resist help. I like to be able to control and do things on my own. As soon as the doctors gave me like literally the bare minimum of information in terms of this is how you keep yourself alive and they sent me out the door from the hospital, I was hesitant to even tell my mom, who, you know, is my caretaker of the world. I was even hesitant to tell her.
Also, you were...
No, go ahead.
You were 17.
I was 17. Summer before...
Plug, listen to season one.
Season one, episode one. But it was the summer before my senior year of high school. So that's kind of when you're trying to establish independence, you know, relying on your parents less. So to have this huge thing in which I suddenly had to rely on other people a lot again, it made me very uncomfortable and I completely resisted it. So I think at the end of the day, I needed to, quote, take care of someone else who was type 1 just to understand a little bit about how people viewed taking care of me. It's not like Olivia's a champ. I swear to God, she's better than I am. Like, she knows her numbers.
I mean, it kind of goes back to our episode with Miriam And it goes back to the episode with Miriam and where we're talking about how it's like a burden, and it's not really a burden. I mean, people want to be there for you. People want to take care of you, and you want it, you know, just like that feeling that you have when you want to take care of Olivia, you want to care for others. And I think it's this like natural human instinct. Even not all of us have that. I mean, I'll be the first to tell you, a lot of people don't necessarily understand how much goes into caring for someone with type one, and you know, how much we go through in a sense of, you know, keeping ourselves alive, because you're literally keeping yourself alive. That's what it is. Like, you know, someone once said to me, they're like, I don't know how you do it. Like, well, first of all, everyone in the world says that, and I'm know. Like, listen, I don't know how I do it everyone either, but it's not that groundbreaking. Keeping myself alive.
If everyone had to do it, everyone
would. You don't really have a choice.
I think it's
So like, I'm like, at the end of the day, it's just a lot, but you do it because you have to.
I think it's as much letting people comfort you as it is people care for you. I used to hate it when people were around to watch me have a low, and that's when you kind of should have company and, you know, someone to make sure that your blood sugar is coming back up. But
back up.
I used to really resent it when I had a low, when I was first diagnosed. I mean, I would resent the whole process, but it would bother me if one of my parents or like my sister would kind of hang over my shoulder and be like, oh, did your number come up? Like, what is your blood sugar now? And they're not asking to be nosy. I mean, there's nothing they can really do about it, but it, again, I'll credit Olivia completely because she was so comfortable with me just talking about her numbers and, oh, is this good? Is this bad? What does this mean if my number is here? What does it mean if my number is lower or higher than that? Like, she had so many good questions, and she was so open to talking about it. And she just wanted to learn, I think, more about my diabetes and more about my numbers. And at the time, I was kind of self-conscious about it because I was like, kid, why are you yeah. so comfortable and so mature dealing with this like a champ? And like, I was being the child of the situation, because I'd be like, don't worry about my number, what's your number, Olivia? But like, it does have to go
well,
both
I mean,
ways.
It kind of goes back to the way that you're a kid, you know, like you're a kid and you're trying to figure out what everything is. Like, so many people who are diagnosed younger, you know, you don't have the inhibitions that you have when you're older, and that when you're our age, you're not necessarily sitting there comparing your numbers to the fellow kid that has type one. You're sitting there like, oh, that's your number. That's cool. This is my number. That's cool. You know, it's, you don't have the inhibitions. You don't necessarily understand, maybe not understand, but you don't care as much. And I kind of wish that we had that as adults. I mean, I know we talk about this all the time, but I find myself comparing my A1C to those around me.
Yeah, don't
and I
do
know
that.
That's like very
you
unhealthy.
You can't, because there
yeah.
are
well,
so
like, not,
many
not
factors.
Intentionally,
I know for myself,
and everyone has their
I
own
absolutely
paths.
Never want the pump, and I know that there are certain benefits to using it. I understand why people do use it, but for myself, I don't know. There is a comfort to me in not having
Did
something attached to me.
Did the timer just go off?
No, my mom texted me. And I don't know. I don't think I can silence my computer to not have that. Norma, I will get right back to you.
I was like, oh my God, Christy, are you ready?
I have a timer ready.
Your timer went off. You're ready.
Yeah. But I know for myself, because I'm not on the pump, I can't adjust my basal because I take my Lantus once in the morning and then I can't turn it off for exercise. Like, once I inject myself, that's it for the day. So I know that my A1C will always, at best, like, I always aim for that 7. I'm not always there. I think my past couple have been higher than that. But that's my goal. I can't,
well, I have been higher
I can't
than
aim
that.
Really for below a 7 because I am just active for so much of the day that I have to be willing to let myself run a little bit high. Otherwise, I would be snacking more than one should, and then, you know, a whole host of other things if you're just constantly eating. So I need to be able to eat and know that I don't have to eat again for like at least a couple of hours. And I have to be able to accommodate for walking in that time, even if it's just walking home from the train station or walking from the station to work. You know, I'm just kind of constantly on the go. So,
right. And you don't have a CGM either, a continuous glucose monitor. You're like, you're full on, you're doing it all yourself. So you deserve so much credit for that. And I mean, not to say that people who have all the technology don't deserve that kind of credit, but
it's
there's
a
something
style
to be
preference.
Said. Like, you can't just look down at your watch. Well, yeah, but you also can't just look down at your watch and see like, oh no, I'm dropping at like 60 with two arrows
down.
Yeah,
I don't really, I assume I know what
Sometimes
that means. I don't really.
Well, sometimes the lows hit, you know, like it takes a while for you, anyone to feel low sometimes. Like if you got that adrenaline running, you got the, you know, you're late, running late to work and you're just focused on that. And then all of a sudden you stop for a second and you're like, holy crap. Like I feel a little woozy. And then, you know, then you stop and check. You can't necessarily anticipate them like you might with, you know, a CGM or something like that. But that doesn't mean that you have any less management over it. You just have a different technique, and whatever's working is working for you. And that's what's important. So those who care for you don't necessarily realize the different types of care that go into diabetes.
No, exactly.
So what's right for Christy is not right for me, you know, necessarily.
That's all part of it, though, is because I don't have that. And it's a choice not to have that extra resource. But kind of knowing that, I need to be respectful when people that I'm spending the day with, and, you know, we're out and about, if I start to feel a little bit lightheaded and I'm like, oh, I need to check my blood sugar, I think it's a really fair question for people who are trying to, like, quote, take care of me. It's okay if they ask what my number is and if we need to stop for something or if I, like, at least need some water or something like that. I used to resent it a lot because I just want to be an independent woman and not need anyone's help, but
well, we are independent. I think it's important to say that, but it's also important that, you know, anyone in life, you need someone with you at some point. You gotta lean on someone, and especially with a chronic illness like this, it's so important to seek help when you can. And if seeking help comes in the form of friends and leaning on them, you know, like, God knows I've been there for plenty of friends who need to lean on me. So sometimes it's okay to take a step back and lean on a friend if you need it. And that's what pals are for, you know, like, that's why you got your pancreas pals. God only knows how many times I text Christy and I'm like, holy shit, I'm 350. No idea what happened, or like some, you know, like, or I'll text Miriam and be like, oh my God, my insulin pump got, like, my Omnipod was stuck in at a 90 degree angle.
That's,
and there
my
was no
worst fear. Like, I don't think I can deal with that stress. I cannot.
It really does not happen that often, to be honest. And for me, the positives of the pump really outweigh the shots, just because of the way my lifestyle is. Like, for me, I might accidentally take a wrong turn in the financial district and get lost in Manhattan for like an hour, and I need to be able to turn off my insulin because I don't want to, like, balloon and, you know, eat like a whole bag of Skittles, which I have had to do regardless of the pump. But
yeah, and for no me, system is
it's
foolproof.
Just, I'll
kindly
prefer
remind
that,
you
but it's
of
nice
the
to
episode.
Have a pal to turn to.
Yeah, I mean, I'll kindly remind you of the episode in which my Lantus, like, spoiled and I had injected myself with.
That's
corrupted
terrifying.
Insulin. So, I mean,
that is
no system is foolproof. I think that this really has to do with kind of self-care, and everyone self-cares. I mean, well, you should self-care the best you can with whatever method you choose. And, you know, even making that choice of how do I want to care is a huge decision, because the method that you choose, you have to then work within that, you know, and whatever works for you is fine. But I think it is good to have, not necessarily, I don't want to say rules as in, you know, you're restricted in life, but I think it is good to establish really good habits to self-care and just kind of good practices, good thoughts. And I mean, that's a lot of what we do on Pancreas Pals is, you know, we take care of each other. And even if taking care of each other is just giving each other advice, you know, I don't assume that Emily takes every piece of advice that I give her, because our bodies and lives are different. But at the same time, I think having a fresh perspective is always helpful, because hearing about how something either did work or didn't work, you know, it's valuable.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's really interesting because, like, I'll turn to Christy, you know, for certain carb counts, and it'll just really, you know, it varies on the body, and it has a lot to do with care. At the end of the day, I mean, this is a piece of technology that I know Christy doesn't have, and I know we just spent like the last however many minutes talking about it. But for me, for something that I see a lot at JDRF events and with talking to a lot of parents of young kids with type 1, it's very interesting the way technology is kind of, it's really saved a lot of lives, and it's great how parents can be connected to their kids' blood sugar numbers through a continuous glucose monitoring system. But you have to realize that once that kid hits a certain age, once they're at school, once they're, you know, off in college, checking their Dexcom every few minutes and calling and being like, oh, you know, you're 300, that's not necessarily a positive thing to be calling your child like every few hours. And, you know, they need independence. Otherwise, how are they going to grow up and learn how to take care of themselves with the disease? So it's a lot of black and white that's really more gray than we give it credit for. And it's definitely a learning curve for parents, too, because we've only had this technology for like, what, 5 years for the Dexcom? And that's insane. You know, it's invasive, especially, you know, that brings up the whole care for yourself and having people asking you your numbers. And it's like, last night I was at a Halloween party with Rich, shout out to the boyfriend, and he's so sweet, and he always makes sure when I'm drinking, he's like, he'll turn to me like in the middle of the evening and be like, you good? And I'm like, yes, Rich, I will tell you if I'm not good. Like, it comes from a place of like concern and genuine care. And he's worried, you know, like, I can't imagine dating someone.
I know, in those situations, whenever
the constant worry,
I like have to check my sugars in front of someone and there's any kind of concern or whatever on their end, I have to ask myself, what would I do if the shoe was on the other foot? What if my friend was the one who was struggling with their numbers?
Yeah.
Like, I would want them to be completely open with me, tell me exactly how they're feeling. Like, I'm so on top of it. If someone tells me like, oh, I have a headache, I'm like, can I get you water? Can I get you an Advil? What can I do?
Exactly.
You just have to think about how you would respond if this other person was dealing with what you're dealing with. And again, all you want to do is care. But yeah, I hear what it's you're help. Saying. I mean, I never had to deal with the Dexcom checking, like having other people have access to my numbers. But all I'll say there, as you know, a 23-year-old with absolutely no kids, is like, parents, I think sometimes the best form of care is actually to step back a little bit, because that 300 number to you might be like, oh my God, why are they 300 at 4 o'clock in the afternoon? What could they possibly be up to that the number kind of snuck up there today? You know what? They might be stressed. They might have a test that night or had an awful test that morning.
Like, damn it, Mom. Yeah. Damn it, Mom. I want a cupcake. Like, if I have a cupcake, this has never happened. My parents, you know, like, don't, if they check my Dexcom, they only check it because I'm having a low and it alerts them. They're pretty good. Or at least if they check it more, they don't tell me, which is like kind of the way it should be. But
bless, you know, if they don't remind
you
constantly.
If I'm out and about. Yeah, no, the thing is, they realize that I'm on top of it. The only time that they call me is if they get an urgent low notification. And honestly, they have called me, I mentioned this a few times, they've called me maybe 3 times where I was in a deep, deep sleep and I was not waking up from anything. And it was horrible and it was scary and I did not feel the low. It was like pretty urgently low, and I would have just continued to sleep. So that's a time when I'm more than happy to have them, you know, looking out for me there. But again, they get those notifications through the phone only at a certain threshold. So I think for parents and for teenagers who might be listening, who have the Dexcom or who don't have the Dexcom, who have parents that are checking up on them constantly asking for your numbers, it's important to realize that they're worried about you. And I know that sounds like, yeah, I know they worried about me, they love me, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, give them a number before you know, like, just let them know that you're on top of it. If you're about to go out for the night, be like, hey, I'm awake, I'm on top of my numbers. If you get, you know, if you're worried or whatever, know that I'm fine. Like, or this is my last check, you know, like, leave me alone for the evening, blah, blah, blah. Do what you got to do to make sure everyone's happy and on top of it, but especially make sure that you're okay. You don't want to be stressing out, worried that your parents are sitting there watching your numbers. And if it gets to that point, it's just, it's not like, you gotta realize what's worth it and what's not. And as long as you have your numbers and you're on top of it, then that's what counts, because it's your body at the end of the day.
You have to know what works for you. And I think, again, this is why I'm resistant. Like, it really is a form of self-care for me not to have the pump and a CGM, because I would get annoyed if it beeped at me, because especially if I'm drinking, I can put myself to bed at a pretty high number and still wake up, if not low, like needing to eat. I drop a lot overnight. I have always said this. I drop overnight anyway. Are you low right now?
Yeah. No, I do too. No. I had a little too much to drink last night, and I was fine. Like, I think I went to bed at something like 1. I honestly could tell you, but I just don't care. I woke up a little low. Like, I woke up around like 70 from a low alarm, which for me, when I'm like, I was hungover. So I knew if I didn't eat something, I was going to continue to drop, because that's just the way my body works after a night of drinking. And I didn't have like a lot of sugary drinks last night. So, and I didn't really eat before bed, but I monitored, I turned up the volume on my Dexcom, and I made sure that I was okay. And I was like, you know what? At the end of, you know, like, what's going to happen, it's going to happen. If I'm going to have a low, my alarm's going to go off. It's going to wake me up, or, you know, like, I'll wake up.
Yeah, for me, I just...
It's scary because that doesn't happen for everyone, but...
Yeah, I mean, for me, I just have to set an alarm and check. It's just something I have to do, but that's also something, you know, just on the note of self-care that I do for myself throughout the day. If I'm having a headache or I'm stressed and I'm even just, like, curious about where my number is, I never leave myself, you know, in the dark. I'm never like, all right, just pretend you're not worried about your number and get on with your day. Like, right. My form of self-care, because I don't have these extra tools,
to check.
Is when I feel the need to check, I just check. Even if I checked 30 minutes before, if just I'm check. Still feeling yeah. uneasy or I feel like I'm dropping, I'm just gonna check. You know, it's just something I do.
Yeah, and I'm gonna be honest. For me, I've noticed that the feeling of dropping is very similar to feeling anxious. So, like, if I have a big day at work or something and I'm headed into the office and I'm moving a lot, I will panic sometimes. I'm like, am I dropping? Like, I left my apartment at, like, 90, which is, like, great, but I'm walking 10 blocks.
That's why I tend to let myself run a little high, so I don't have to think about that as much.
Right. So, I will be the first one to tell you, I do not... My Dexcom is not 100% accurate. It's probably not even, like, 85% accurate. I'd give it, like, an 80% accuracy the last few days, because the more tighter you are, like, the better numbers you see, the more accurate it is, just the way that the algorithms work. I don't really understand it. Maybe one day Dexcom will come on and teach us about it. Who knows? But I love the technology, because at least it gives me something to hold on to. And if I feel like it's different, I will check. And I've had a few rare cases, like maybe 4 or 5 over my last 3 years of having a Dexcom, where I will check and I'll be like more than 50 points different. So, like, one time my Dexcom said I was 100 and I was like, whoa, I feel trippy AF. Something's not right. And I checked and I was 50.
Oh,
and
well,
that's
yeah.
like, I was like, what the hell? Yeah. So then I'm like, so now, you know, I'm a little more, like, I'm so type A. We've talked about this in plenty of episodes. I have really bad anxiety issues, or I did growing up, and this is just the way I am. And I'm going to check if I don't trust something. And in that case, I was so glad that I trusted my body. And this technology can't replace your own body. And that's something really important, and why
it's so important to feel in tune with yourself, but I also
yeah.
probably worry a little bit too much. That's neither
but that's the
here
diabetes.
Nor
there
again.
You've got to be on top of it.
You know, if I'm anything below 100, I just, you know, it's not that I treat it like a low if I'm under 100 immediately, but if I know that I'm not, you know, scheduled for lunch or whatever for X amount of hours, like, I just want to reach for that juice box. Like, I just...
Yeah, it's an anxiety thing. We're not saying to do that, and we're not saying it's wrong to do that, because, again, everyone's bodies are their own. But for me, if I did that, I would spike, because half the time I will hover.
I know.
And I don't realize I'm hovering at 100. I think,
see,
oh,
that's
I'm dropping.
See, that's a scenario
so
where
I do
think
that, but that's...
whatever technology it is that tells you, you know, you're dropping, you're rising, or you're at a straight line.
Yeah.
That's where something like that would come in handy. But kind of the way that I deal with it is I check again in 30 minutes. Like, just see what it's trending
yeah.
at. But, like, if I'm sitting there like, oh, my God,
yeah.
I'm dropping. Like, I might just be chilling between 90 and 100 for a while, but... The best I can do right now without driving myself crazy with these constant alarms reminding me, like, hey, you're high, hey, you're on the lower side. Like, chances are I know. I'm probably, if I'm that high, I'm at the gym. Please stop beeping at me. Like, I did that very much on purpose. and if I'm low, I mean, I'm pretty good at catching them. I think the last time that I was home in New Jersey a couple weekends ago, I was actually really proud of myself, because the time before this last visit was when I had that horrible low and my meter just said low and I was like stumbling downstairs. Yeah. I did not want to do that to my mother or my boyfriend again because they both, I think, were just so, and I mean, this is really in tune with today's episode, they were both just so shocked that I didn't wake them up. And honestly, in the moment, all I could think was just get to the juice so you can start feeling better and pop, like, formulate words probably a little bit more articulately. Wow, that was a great example. I am so articulate. I'm going to go very soon. Anyway.
Oh my God.
Should not be allowed to record. Anyway. case in point, I did not want to put either of them in that position again. I think they were so concerned why I did not wake them up and why didn't you tell us. I wasn't really thinking that way at the time. I was just thinking in blurry pictures of juice and I just kind of stumbled downstairs and did my best. It probably wasn't brilliant not to like roll over and be like, Zach, come watch me drink juice. But I couldn't even think that far. I just, you know, stumbled down the stairs and did what I had to do. But
yeah, I did save my own life
several times now. But anyway, so this last time I was home, I very purposely set an alarm for the middle of the night. I checked. I had like a juice box. I set an alarm to check again. I unfortunately did have to have another juice box, but I was fine. I have to anticipate when I'm traveling, especially like that's my form of self-care when I'm traveling, just baby myself because I know that all the extra activity and exhaustion,
right?
Like, I just have to be on top of it.
And we have quite a few episodes last season on traveling with diabetes. I believe one is called Traveling with the Beaties. And we talk about how oftentimes we drop or we go high and it's okay to let yourself run high or I wouldn't say low. It's okay to let yourself run high in situations when you just don't know the outcome. So we are so glad you joined us this week. And we hope that, you know, this shined a little light on anything that you were thinking of, wondering. I don't know. Shoot us a message. We're loving to talk about anything and everything that you guys send our way. And we are so excited to have more exciting guests on the season. Although the season is already, this is episode 9.
I know, 9 of 12. I can't, but we're 3/4 of the way through. It's going quickly. But we love when you guys send in ideas, even if it's just a thought and it's not a fully formed episode topic. We're happy to throw in advice, comments, even if it's related to the episode before, you know, we'll work it into the next episode.
We don't mind. I think for our next episode, or maybe not our next, but one of our future episodes, it'd be really cool if we talked about some of our scary, like some more scarier situations related to diabetes and how we confronted them. And I'd love for our listeners to slide into our DMs and send us some stories that we can share on air. It can be anonymous. It can be a made up name. It can be your true self, like whatevs. We accept you. We respect you. And we have probably been there too. It doesn't have to do with dating. It can literally be like, this is not a dating episode that I'm thinking of. This is like real life. Not that dating isn't real life. Who knows? IDK. It can be anything from a work situation. It can be anything from dealing with your parents to dealing with whatever. Chances are someone has gone through a similar thing, and a pancreas pal is there for you. We are pals through and through. We are here for you. So moral up, take care of yourself, kids. Have a very safe Halloween on Tuesday for those who celebrated this last weekend and are hungover like I am. Take care of yourself. It's okay to have, you know, that chai tea latte that you were eyeing because, you know, you're running a little low anyways. So shout out to Trader Joe's for that chai tea latte mix that I am coasting at 160 right now. And I'm pretty happy because, you know, I was low. So whatever. Christy, I hope you have the best
week
ever.
Thank you. You too. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween, kids. Stay safe, and we look forward to next week's episode. Slide into our DMs. Email us at pancreaspals123@gmail.com. Slide into our DMs on Instagram at pancreas_pals and on Facebook, which is pancreaspalsPP. And we can't wait to share some of your stories, guys. Have a great week.
Bye. Take care.